Blog Talk Radio.
You hear that call? It is the call of the Maple Leaf. That's right. The Stanley Cup wants to come home. All right. I hear the call. You will come home, Stanley Cup. All right, welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Frank Stanisha. You're listening to the Candid Frank and Lively Show, NHL edition. Today is our third show. You can be heard on all, and all you need to do is call area code 714-242-5250. Now, 714, you got that pen in your hand, 242-5250. You can also sign in to Blog Talk Radio chat line and make a comment in the chat box that I can share on the air. For those of you that have a long-distance calling plan covering North America, the call will be free. Now, Canada's Milos Raonic, seated 13th from Thornhill, Ontario, beat German 19th-ranked Philipp Kohlschreiber 7-6, 6-3, 6-4 on Saturday to set up a fourth-round meeting with Roger Federer, the second seed at the Australian Open. Raonic had lost to Federer three times in 2012 and has been quoted as saying, "I've had my three shots against him, and I look forward to my fourth." And also added against Roger, "One thing that has sort of worked out well for me, I try as much as I can not to play on Roger's terms, to play on my own terms." Milos Raonic stands between Federer's fifth championship at Melbourne Park, the home of the Australian Open. Good luck, Milos. As promised, we will spend more time on The Rock, and I don't mean the one in Newfoundland. I mean the one that plays lacrosse. The Rock won their season opener in Calgary, then the next game in Edmonton for a 2-0 start this season. Tonight they played Philadelphia and unfortunately lost in their home opener, a game that they led throughout. GM Terry Sanderson traded for American forward Paul Rabil. Goaltender Nick Rose enjoyed a tremendous opening weekend and was recognized as the NHL's Defensive Player of the Week. So things were looking good tonight. Unfortunately, they didn't work out well for Toronto. Instead, they worked out well for the Wings from Philadelphia. We'll have a discussion about that game. I think we have somebody reporting from that game, actually, and we'll be hearing about that a little later on in the program. Listen up. The grapevine has it. Take San Francisco at -4. And even though John Granger is a Patriots fan, take Baltimore at +9.5. Baltimore will cover the spread, and remind you, the picks are good. He says they're good. Good as gold. Speaking of the grapevine, they're back. The NHL is back. But more importantly, Hockey Night in Canada is back. And even more important than Hockey Night in Canada being back is that Don Cherry's back. Just ask him. My weekly Don Cherry review tonight is, once again, he was right. He will be right again. He mentioned that they were both fired. He referred, of course, to Wilson and Burke, two people that he had faith in the beginning, and that faith quickly dissolved when Cherry began to realize, in his own words, that the Leafs were stocking with college players and not Canadian players. Finally, the sour grapes aside, the NHL and the NHLPA made peace to give us a shortened 48-game schedule with a short 6 days of camp, one day of which was for physicals. This could possibly lead to an exhibition hockey-like early season. Well, we'll see. 48 games, you need a quick start, and that's what you have to do. Now, the question is this year, will a Canadian team win the Stanley Cup? It has been 20 years since that has happened, and that was the first year of Commissioner Gary Bettman's reign. He handed the cup, of course, to Montreal in 1993. That same year, the Toronto Maple Leafs probably had the best chance ever to win a Stanley Cup since 1967. And we all remember what happened. Well, for those of us that are older than like 25 or 26, or those of us that keep up with legend, the legend is that Dougie Gilmore was high-sticked by Wayne Gretzky, and Wayne Gretzky didn't draw a penalty. That denied us, and I think that was the last year or the second last year that Toronto played in the West Division. Montreal went on to win the Stanley Cup, and it would have been beautiful. Having Toronto against Montreal would have been awesome. Now, let me put Canadian NHL franchises and their lack of success in recent memory in perspective. This will be the 60th anniversary of Hockey Night in Canada. For the last third of that history, a Canadian team hasn't won the Cup, if they don't win it this year. Now, what that tells you is, when you consider Hockey Night in Canada, for most of us, can anyone remember it not being on television? Can anyone remember it not existing? Well, just imagine, in that long, illustrious history, a Canadian team hasn't won the Stanley Cup in the last third of that illustrious, long history. That's a high percentage of failure. I hope this year will be different for the Canadian teams. We know that two of the flagship teams played tonight. They played, of course, in Montreal. They did the carry the torch thing, you know, the poster that's on the sign that's in the dressing room from Failing Hands. That is a pretty famous thing. And now, since Montreal started that a few years ago, it's still very popular. When I was watching the game, I was getting a little bit nervous because some of those old Montreal players looked like they were scared to death of going down those stairs and down those hallways. These guys are like in their 80s, man. They couldn't have put them on the ground floor. They needed to have them come out like that. Well, anyway, nothing bad happened other than for the Montreal fans, they lost. That's the only bad thing that happened. Anaheim and Vancouver are underway right now. Vancouver's trying to recover from a disappointment year last year. They did everything right again during the season, and then they just fell flat on their face to the eventual winners of the Stanley Cup, the Chicago Blackhawks. Not the Chicago Blackhawks. I'm so used to them losing to them. Actually, the Los Angeles Kings, who eventually ended up winning the Stanley Cup. Now, Sunday, Edmonton starts their season in Vancouver, and Calgary will be at home to San Jose. Okay, we've got callers right away. We'll bring up the first one. I'm not sure which is which, but your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, come on, Frank. You know who it is.
Do I know who it is? Of course I know who it is.
Of course you know who it is. Frank, I mean, hockey is back, Frank. By the way, it's John over here. I'll go for life, John. Hello, folks. Frank, hockey is back, and the Leafs won. All I got to say about tonight's game is, ole, 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 ole.
Oh,
how about that? No, are we going to start playing again? You know, this is our ritual.
Hang on, John. Hang on, John.
For the last...
Hang on.
What's
hang
that?
On, John. Hang on, John. I got a phone call. Hang on. Hang on.
All right, go for
Hang on. Just let me take this phone call. Hello?
Yeah.
hello? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Listen, I'm doing the show right now. I mean, Well, they went down Bay Street in 67. We can do that again, right? No?
Well,
University. Can we go down University? Yeah, just sorry, John. I was arranging for the parade, and unfortunately,
apparently,
there's a lot of people who aren't as convinced as I am that the Leafs are going to win the Cup.
Frank, it's a ritual that we do this every year, isn't it? Isn't it when they win one or two games at the beginning, and we got to start jumping on it? But you know what? We got to take advantage of it while we can. As Leaf fans, we know this is the only high glory time of the year that we get is the first few games when we think we're going to do it.
Ouch!
But, you know,
ouch!
Frank, no, honestly, as a hardcore Leaf fan, I got to tell you, every year, you got to have hope, and you got to dream. Without dreams, there's nothing. And, yeah, they're going to say, yeah, keep dreaming. Well, you know what? A win is a good start, okay? I mean, it was a tight game. People are still rusty. But these games are usually, Montreal, these games are usually tight like this. I was flipping back and forth in the lacrosse, and the Leafs game, I couldn't make up my mind. So what I'm saying to you tonight was a refreshing start to the season to see the hockey play. But I wanted to drift back off hockey because you mentioned the lacrosse tonight. The Toronto Rock opened up the season opener. What a disappointment tonight for their fans. A heartbreaker. They were winning the whole entire game. The Philly tied it up at 3-3 halfway through the game. Toronto was winning 7-4. And right after the nail biter at the end, they tied it up. And then 10 seconds left. Philly scored from behind the net, and I just feel so bad for the Rock fans. And I got to tell you, there's another group of fans here in Toronto that don't get the respect that they do, but tonight, I really wanted a win for them. And unfortunately, it just didn't come through. But what a game. It was still, I gotta tell you, it was a little more exciting to watch the Rock game because of the back and forth action. The Leaf game, I was just happy to see them ahead. And good start, though. You know,
Basil,
Frank? Good start.
Yeah. It was a great game. I'm going to bring somebody else in here. Your name and where you're calling from?
It's Gary in from Toronto. And, John, you're right.
Hey, Gary, how you doing? This is the Gary. Oh, talk about the Rock over here. Gary Grubb over here. This guy.
There you go, Rockaholic Gary, yeah.
Frank, you got to meet this guy one day. One of the most passionate Rock fans I've ever met out there. A road warrior goes to Monroe. Gary, what about this game tonight? How was it?
Oh, it was a great game. It was a great game. You know, it was right down to the wire. It's true what they say. You know, they'll sell you the seat, but you're only going to sit on the edge. It's the best ticket in town. It starts at $15 and works its way upward. But, you know, this thing was exciting from the word go. It was a defensive struggle. You know, you're talking about both goalies making over 50 saves each for an 8-7 loss, unfortunately. But we can't win them all. We're not going to go 16-0, but we're going to do our best.
Gary?
Yeah.
Yeah. The GM, Sanderson, traded and has built a team that's more defensive-oriented than they have been in the past. He wants to win these close games. How disappointed do you think the team is that I think they played the kind of game they want to play, but they ended up on the wrong end of the score at the very end of the game?
Well, you look at it, we won two games last weekend. We won one by two goals and one by one goal. So we're not going to win them all, but we're going to win the majority with a team that plays like this. We got
Gary,
size, we've got speed, we've got strength.
Gary,
we do have quite a bit of scoring,
too. It was a kind of a shootout game tonight, though, was it not? Like, I mean, halfway through the game, I think that, you know, Toronto was out shooting Philly by at least about 15, 20 shots on net. And defense is playing tight. I mean, it's still, even if it's a defensive game, these guys are really putting it all out there. I mean, I got to give them credit.
Sure, like I say, there was 60 shots for the Rock. I think it was 53 or 55 shots for Philadelphia. So you're looking at goalies that are making 45-plus saves. But also the defense is keeping these guys to the outside. Like if you take a look at the goal that won the game with 10 seconds left, this guy is shot from behind the net, leaping, and snuck it in the short side. You're not going to see that every day. That's a highlight reel goal.
So the team played well. Just not enough to win. Now I'd like to ask you, because I have a family that really loves The Rock, and they tell me all the time how great it is. They have a wonderful system for season. You have season tickets?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What I really like is they have a unique way of doing things. If you can't make it to a game, they actually replace the ticket for you, and
yeah,
you can
exactly.
go to a different game.
Right. But
they're very flexible.
It means
with
you
their
can
tickets.
Bring more people to the games because you're already going to the next.
Well,
game,
you get what is it? Two extra tickets with your season tickets?
Yeah, you get two per every season ticket that you can cash in anything. You can cash all of them in one game, or you can put them in as I do in individual games and just bring people along. That way, I can get them close to our seats, right?
They're very inventive in how they sell their tickets. Now, you know, John and I met because of the Argos. And John mentioned
right.
that how good a deal it is and how underrated lacrosse and well not lacrosse but NLL is as far as the media is concerned. I mean, the arena, the Air Canada Centre, is jammed.
Yeah, it is.
So you know, there's not an absence of fans. Do you think
we've got good ownership now, and with Jamie Dalek, he's finally been able to get TSN to cover 10 games. The Toronto Sun seems to have a pretty good page full of things, day of game, day after game, which before you couldn't find it anywhere. So slowly but surely,
Gary,
it's starting to... Yeah.
Gary, I got a question for you. You mentioned something, and I apologize if you guys are getting me on echo feed. We're having a little bit of a technical echo feed over here. I heard that the Rock management did something special this year regarding reaching out to the fans. You mentioned they had a town hall meeting that they got the fans one-on-one and sort of. Tell us a little bit about that. What was going on there?
Well, back in December, they had for all the season ticket holders. It was a chance to show off their new facility out in Oakville, which is short form track, the Rock Athletic Complex. But they had a town hall meeting with all the Rock season ticket holders, discussing everything from marketing, media, right on down to why the players aren't getting inside enough. They had it with a couple of players, coach, GM, and owner. And to me, that was a really great reach out for the fans.
Did you give them a
question?
That's
actually caring for the season ticket holders.
Did you throw them a question?
Well, we'd discussed everything from national anthem singers on outward, because I don't know if you've ever been to an NLL game. I've seen some of the worst national anthems in my life there. But we seem to have hired somebody on full-time now that actually can do the job well.
That sounds like a minor weakness, though, no? Gary?
Well, actually, if you take a look, if it's the first thing somebody turns on the game, that's the first thing they're going to see is some Bush League kind of thing. It kind of turns them off right away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
every little bit helps when you're trying to draw new fans in.
Older would only know that kind of information there, Gary. So what's on the horizon for the Rock right now? Are you guys heading out on the road with the club? I hear you do a lot of road trips.
Well, yeah, well, the Rock offer bus trips for fans, any fans. They're doing next weekend. They're going out to Rochester. They have a game here in Toronto on Friday, and then Saturday there's a bus leaving from ACC mid-afternoon to go out to Rochester for the game. And they have a couple of them offered throughout the year.
So what do the fans have to do to get a bus ticket to go along with you guys? Who do they have to call?
If you go onto the Toronto Rock website at www.torontorock.com, it'll have all the information for that. You can do it online, or you can do it over the phone with the Rock representatives.
How long have you been a Rock fan?
Right?
I've been a Rock fan for many, many years now. I've been a season ticket holder for a lot of years now as well. It's nice to see the attendance start to climb again. Back in the Maple Leaf Gardens days, it was selling out. And when it came into ACC, it was also close to selling out. It had a couple of lean years in the middle where attendance dropped right down.
Until they sold the team.
And over the last 4 years since they've rebuilt, the attendance is slowly starting to climb back up from about 9,000 up to about 14,000-15,000. Tonight, I think the attendance was 12, give or take.
That's
getting up there.
It's a shame. Now, I think the Rock deserve more attention and more respect in this city. It's a good entertainment for your buck that you get out of that, going to that game. And we need more fans like you, Gary. I'm sure there's going to be more out there. They're going to, you know, hear your passion and stuff. They're going to want to hook up to this. Way to go. Really good to hear guys like you out there.
All right. I've got to get
Gary,
going, guys. It's been a pleasure.
No, hang on a second. Gary, I know you got to go work. You got to go to work. But I wanted to ask you another question. You're an Argo lifer.
I am.
And you support the Argos as well.
I do.
And is there a similarity between the two games that makes you want to participate with both as deeply as you do?
Well, yeah. Number one, I think that the crowd involvement is a big thing too, in both sports. It's a family kind of feel. You can really get behind the team, and the team really gets behind the fans. It's not just a taken for granted situation. They're both really, really exciting. Both teams are very competitive. It's a whole lot of fun for our whole family.
And it's affordable.
It's very affordable. Both are very affordable.
Well, that's great.
Well, Gary,
in fact, I think with the Argo Lifer, the deal is even more affordable if I think about it.
Well, there you go.
Actually, Gary, we're so happy to have you back as Argo Lifer in Section 134B. We're going to get a good, strong fan base with guys like yourself and other Rock fans. And we support each other. Argo fans, I know there's Laurie Bursey and Scott Finley who are huge fans out there who follow the Rock and are huge Argo fans. So I think we have a lot. That's the reason why kind of we know each other, because we both like the same kind of passionate grassroots kind of fan base that we get going here with the Argos and the Rock. And again, Gary, thank you so much for calling in and taking the time to call us and speak to us a little bit. And feel free to call again and let us know. Give us some updates about the Rock, all right?
You bet. Take it easy, guys.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, sir.
Well, that was an interesting
call. Frank? Yeah, that was very nice. This guy is a super, super hardcore loyal fan to The Rock, and you know, we met him on a bus trip up to Labor Day game for the last Labor Day game this season, and what a great guy, and introduced him down to the Argo Lifer section, and he loved it so much, and his wife loved the experience that they ended up being season ticket holders in our section this year. So really true passionate fans, Frank, really good guy.
Okay, here's another plug on the telephone number. It's 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. Also, you can chat in our chat line. All you have to do is sign in to Blog Talk Radio, and you'll have a chat screen that many are familiar with, especially people here on the Internet. You can ask a question, and we will try to get the answer, or even better, have an opinion that we're more than willing to share with everybody on the air. I'm with John Granger. My name's Frank Stanishi. You're watching Candid, Frank, and Lively. He's Lively. I'm Candid. But we're both Frank. Anyway, so John, first
yeah.
night of hockey. Ottawa
yeah.
played Winnipeg. Winnipeg is going to have a tough year just because of the division they're in. They're in the they're playing like the Leafs. They're playing in a division and in a place just like the Leafs did back in the day, where they were a Western Division team. On the other hand, Winnipeg is more of a Western team playing in the Eastern Division, and that's going to they will be traveling more than any other team in the National Hockey League, and that includes the West Coast teams, who are well known for traveling long distances. Do you think that's going to have an impact on that team on a short season?
Well, you know, traveling's got to have an impact on any team if they're traveling more than the other. I can't see where it benefits anybody. Everybody says that they play better at home in front of their fans, home cooking, and, you know, the whole nine yards. If this is an example of their play against East Division teams, what they did today, 4-1 loss to Ottawa, I'm going to be a little bit worried for Winnipeg fans, but I doubt it. It's too early. People are rusty. I think we're going to have to give this a few more games. I'm just worried about injuries that are going to happen in this short season. That's my concern. But, you know, Winnipeg, tonight or this afternoon, not a good show for their fans. I feel bad. You still got me at, we got hockey started up again. That's still weird to hear, okay?
The fact absolutely.
You know, and Frank, I got to be telling you something. I don't know if other fans feel like this, but I didn't want to give hockey a second chance this time around. I didn't want to hear about the updates. I didn't want to do anything about it. Even leading up to this week, I kind of was playing distant. I just needed to start up and hopefully we can forget about the strike. Because it is a sin in Canada that we can't watch our hockey starting up when it's supposed to start up. And the fact that we got it going right now, it's great. A little bit of a rusty night in some hockey games, but low scoring. I only saw one game that I think it was the Phoenix game that hit 7 goals. The rest of them were below 6, below 5. So it wasn't like a big blowout night where, you know, we saw a lot of entertainment. But still, just hockey in general, happy to have it. What was your favorite game tonight? I guess you were watching the Leaf game.
I watched the Leaf game. Stop laughing. And it was an interesting game. I watched the Ottawa game this afternoon. This afternoon, and I turned away for a second, and I thought I could have swore I saw somebody get rammed into the boards, and it looked like an opportunity for our first suspension of the season. We'll find out tomorrow if anybody's brought onto the carpet. This year, more than any other year, in the olden days when they played an 84-game schedule, they're playing half a year, and usually around Christmas, around this time, you start separating the wheat from the chaff. The teams that aren't playing well are starting to think about which direction they're going, buy or sell. Well, the promise now this year is that the teams are thinking about buying right away, because as soon as they think they've got a weakness, this season is up for grabs more than any in the recent past, actually since the last lockout, which New Jersey won, and many credit to the shortened schedule, the older team, and the fact they played in the East and they traveled the least. So that's my opinion on the hockey that I saw today. I'm waiting to see what happens on the trade front. I'm waiting to see on Vancouver and Toronto. I hear Philadelphia is involved in the trade for Luongo, but I believe Philadelphia won't trade for Luongo, but Philadelphia and Toronto have a deep dislike for each other, the two organizations. That may change this year with the new one. And sometimes teams offer to make a trade just to heighten up the price, for the opposition. Interdivisional stuff like that happens all the time. What do you think,
Frank,
is going to happen in the future in the NHL in the next couple of months?
Well, in the next couple of months, I'm just hoping, I'm taking it one week at a time. I'm still waiting for him to strike next week. That's how I feel right now. I have to sink in, okay? It just has to sink in. I mean, you're talking about Luongo here. I got to tell you, Frank, I don't think he's coming here. I really don't. I mean, if we're going to get performances like we did tonight out of Scrivens, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but if we get plays like
call him Ben
tonight,
call
I'm
him
happy.
Ben.
yeah,
no, you know what?
Luongo, no. I mean, I don't see it. He wants to go back to Florida, Tampa, Florida. I don't know which one.
Miami.
Miami. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Miami. Right. But regardless, I don't think he is going to be coming here. I just don't see it. I really don't want him here. Really. I really don't. They're going to have to give up too much for him. Let's see how this season plays out. It's a half a season, so it's not as if we want to commit to him. It's already half over. Let's just wait it out. Let's see how goalies do here. I mean, we can't do any worse than we did last year, or maybe we could. We can always do worse.
You but never know sometimes with Toronto.
Frank, you've got to have faith. You got to have faith.
Here's my opinion on the coach, Carlisle. I like him far more than Wilson. Here's my opinion on the GM. This one doesn't stay much. I like that, too. I know you do. I like Burke as a person. I like Burke as a person, but it is a new age.
Burke's temperament. I love his temperament. I love his Irish temperament. He was a straightforward shooter.
No, he wasn't. I disagree.
I like him.
He said one thing, and I'm glad Cherry at least said what, I said it on Facebook a while ago, but what I don't like about Burke's experience here in Toronto is he came out, like Cherry said, and I don't agree with Cherry very often, but tonight I had to agree with him 100%, that Burke came out guns a-blazing, this is going to be a truculent team. We are going to be the initiators, which is what he was looking for. He couldn't remember the other word that Burke used. Burke used that they were going to initiate stuff. In other words, they were going to go, they were going to dictate the game. Well, the Leaf teams tried dictating the game, but they didn't do it the way Burke said. Burke said, my teams are built from the net out. They didn't have a goaltender in the 4 years that they could trust. They didn't have
monster.
A defense they could trust.
We thought we had the monster. Sorry, but we thought we had a monster.
But it doesn't. I realize that, but it doesn't matter what people believe. The fact is, Don Cherry was right on his other point, and that is 4 years of total abject failure is only going to get you fired. It's not going to get you sympathy in the National Hockey League. A lot of people consider the Leafs a team that doesn't care about winning. Well, this is a new ownership. Yes, the front face of the organization is old. Okay, he is part of the past regime. But Rogers and Bell, now, I'm not a big fan of corporations, politically speaking. But one thing's for sure, John, these guys want a platform for selling product. They need the team to win.
I hear you, but I don't think it's going to change. I think it's all politically done. I don't know why the hell they would do it before the season starts. You say it's because the upper management disliked his mannerism. It's a PR stunt move. Everybody in hockey knows it was a moronic move to do. I don't even know if that's a good description for it, but it just didn't sound right, didn't feel right, it didn't look right. And
we have less than a minute now,
looks,
John.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the only thing that looks right now is that it's a good night, the Leafs won, and it's been great talking to you, Frank, and I'm glad that we had Gary call in. Good having him on. Remember, again, fans out there, I'm an Argo lifer. We need your Argo support, passionate support. Join us, Section 134B. Frank, thanks again for having me on. Love talking to
on
you.
On the Burke issue, before we go out the door, the fact is that they couldn't get rid of him. He was on the top of the list of people negotiating with the players. They couldn't fire him until the season started until he completed his responsibility with the National Hockey League, and the Leafs were not to fire anybody as any other team wasn't supposed to. So in my opinion, that's why it happened the way it did. Thank you for tuning in to our program tonight. I had John Granger on here, and as usual, John, it was fun. Thank you for listening to the Candid Frank and Lively Show. See you again next time. Ciao for now.